Here we are again, and that's a pleasure. And it's a pleasure for all of you who are on Zoom to be with us all also. I was glad when Otis upped the volume a little bit on the first hymn. I always sound like I sing so much better when the piano's louder. Dreams are important to me. I won't be presumptuous enough to say that dreams are important to all of us, because I can quote other people who say the same thing and say it for me. Here are a few lines from an article on the Tufts University website, Tufts Now. Lots of theories have been offered. Dreams are used to regulate emotions, like dealing with fears, to consolidate memory, replaying things from your day to help remember them, to solve, or on the other hand, to forget, real-world problems. Another theory suggests that they help the brain predict its own future states. And that article by Eric Hole, A New Theory on Why We Dream, then suggests that dreaming is a way of breaking the cycle of repetitive daily tasks, filling out spreadsheets, delivering mail, tightening pipe fittings, with an infusion of discord, keeping our brains fit. My point here is that there is an abundance of information and speculation about dreams right now in the 21st century. Even if we take the most arid and sterile view that dreams are random electrical discharges in our brains while we sleep, we're left with questions about why these particular memories, images, situations, and characters present themselves, and why we sometimes awake to intense feelings. Even if these feelings, too, can be explained as electrical impulses, so can feelings of love and even spiritual connectedness. So that explanation is no end in itself. Dreams show up repeatedly in Holy Scripture. Major decisions are made on the basis of interpretation of them. People, seers, are occasionally put to death for false interpretations, usually meaning something unflattering to the dreamer. Freud and Jung, taking different approaches, still both focused much of their attention and theories on dreams and dream imagery. Dreams, we can safely say, are a big deal to us humans generally. I have most of a shelf full of journals in which I've recorded most of my dreams, the ones I've remembered, of course. That's one of the pesky things about dreams. In spite of being so important, they are terribly ephemeral. Even if you don't set much store by your dreams, I can guess that you've had at least a few that seem vivid and memorable when you awakened, only for them to vanish entirely within minutes. There is widespread agreement that dreaming is essential to our well-being, whether we remember them or not. As I was writing this, I thought, wow, this is a lot about dreams. And I've cut out much of what I'd written before that, all based on, justified by, a half a verse in a short psalm. Then were we like those who dream. The psalmist doesn't set up cause and effect here, but merely writes, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream. Correlation, perhaps, not necessarily causation. So, in this context of dreams, let us imagine together for a moment. It sounds like this poet, storyteller, is at least implying, if not saying outright, that while those fortunes were in flux or lost altogether, the psalmist's community were like those who do not dream. In another sermon, or if I were simply a more accomplished biblical scholar, I might talk about the specific fortunes that were lost and then restored that the psalmist is referring to. But my ignorance might be an asset in this particular go-round. Because for our purposes today, those details don't really matter. Why? Because we all know what it's like to suffer reversal of fortunes. Every one of us has lost something or someone precious to us. You might be in the midst of such a loss right now. Each of us knows, too, that we made it through those reversals somehow. None of us, as far as I'm aware, has experienced what Bartimaeus did, the loss of sight and having it restored. That is a dramatic reversal of fortunes. On the other hand, all of us here know what it's like to have something we hold dear denied us, that simple, potent experience of coming together in church as we are now and receiving the body and blood of Christ. And yet, here we are together again. Perhaps as those who dream. One thing that might mean for us, as it certainly did for Bartimaeus, is that the anxiety and worry we focused on the thing we lost or feared losing, those have been released. The energy we had spent in loss or mourning has been freed from its narrow confines. Now we can be like those who dream. Obviously, I'm no longer speaking just about the pandemic. I, for one, can be held hostage by the most mundane concerns, changing accounts and bill paying from one bank account to from one bank to another, as we've been doing recently, worrying about something I did or said in a meeting or in a sermon, obsessing in general. When I decide that enough's enough, that I don't need to worry about that issue anymore, or I've done everything I could do, and for once recognize that that's the case, then my fortunes are reversed. And it's really not so much my deciding as it is that I've been liberated from what? My critical, judgmental self, for one thing. It might feel like I've simply run out of steam on a particular issue. Whatever it is, it often feels like God has lifted the weight from my shoulders. No big feat for the almighty, all-knowing creator of all that ever has been, but a monumental relief for my cramped little psyche. Then, again, I am like those who dream. I'm not a big fan of today's passage from Hebrews, even though I understand that the author's purpose is to appeal to fellow Jews who are well-versed in the language of sacrifice and high priesthood. But the line, "separated from sinners," to describe Jesus, puts my teeth on edge. I prefer reflecting on Jesus, the rabbi, the priest, the human being who lamented over those who were lost, who had compassion on the blind man in a time when blindness or any other infirmity was seen as proof of sin, who felt the anguish expressed in, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Jesus who was surrounded by a crush of people who were ill and sinful and needy in so many ways, and who knew the human dilemma from the inside out. That Jesus, whose liberation came at the highest cost and was not merely for himself, but for all of us, so that our fortunes can be restored, so that we can be, once again, like those who dream. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.